Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
And a very good Friday. We made it to a football Friday, September the 24th, 2021. One game in the books. Good morning, Rick. I'm so annoyed at myself this morning, but good morning to you.
Yeah, we should have made the pick. I feel the same way. For a bunch of different reasons last night. Bunch of different reasons. Should have picked the game. Should have been our head coach. Potentially could still be our quarterback.
Yep, a lot of reasons to be a little bit frustrated. But I'm just annoyed at myself because I got in my own head. I knew Carolina was going to win that game. They're the better team. Houston kind of stinks. There's a guy playing quarterback that is not even ready to play quarterback in this league, and a guy that's very ready to play quarterback in this league. They comfortably won that game, even without Christian McCaffrey. I liked it, but I couldn't do it. I didn't do it, and now I'm going to have to sweat a game over the weekend. I could be free and clear right now if I took Carolina in our survivor.
Hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah,
I get it though. Thursday night on the road. I
mean, too much stress
there in the first half.
Too much stress.
You want to relax. You got no baseball, which I miss, by the way.
So well,
you
I was
relax,
watching
put
the
feet up.
I was watching the Twins and the Blue Jays though. A little help for the Yankees
gift.
Last night.
A gift for the
yep.
New York Yankees. You win with the day off. Gift. I can't wait for this stretch. So we got baseball. We got Jets and Giants. Got a full slate of games.
Yep.
I got the Ryder Cup teeing off right after the show.
Oh, goodness. Where's that being played?
8 a.m., baby.
Oh, so you go right in. This is like a three-hour extended pregame show for the Ryder Cup today.
This is as excited as I could get for a weekend.
This is as good as it gets. The weather's supposed to be phenomenal this weekend.
Yeah, great weather.
Yep.
I got golf. I got a game the Jets could surprise some people in. Giants in a must win. How about this one too? I got Bucks, Rams.
Yep.
This weekend. I mean, this is going to be a great weekend.
We all have Bucks, Rams this weekend.
No, but you're asking me. Yankees, Red Sox.
Yep.
Ugh, I mean, it doesn't get much better.
Mets, Brewers. I mean, that's a good series.
Yeah, great
well,
series.
We got
the NHL right around the corner. Training
yep,
camp
less
starting
than three
up.
Weeks away. Yeah, 3 weeks away. 2.5 weeks away. Training camp starts here.
Coach Galano with the K Show yesterday saying he's going to make the playoffs. I like that little urgency.
Yeah. Well, they need to. That's why they hired him.
Dave, for us as New York sports fans, they need to. The Knicks need to be good. The Rangers need to be good. The Islanders need to be good.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about the Islanders.
I don't either, but I'm just saying. I mean, there's a lot of Giants fans that are Rangers fans and, you know, vice versa with the Jets and the Islanders and everything else. Like, we need some good sports in this town.
Well, listen, if the Yankees have a good run here over the next 9 games, all of a sudden you look at it and they should absolutely be a wild card team. Absolutely. So they get in, win the wild card, then they have a real series, right? And that drives us right into the Rangers starting, and then the Knicks start right after that. And I mean, are we of the assumption now that New York football is done for the season?
No, I don't think it's done. I mean,
no?
Listen, the Jets, it wasn't about wins and losses, right? So there was no playoff expectations. It was, you know, rookie head coach, rookie play caller, rookie quarterback. How does he progress moving forward? Right? I mean, that's what the season is about. I mean, Giants, 0-2 start. You don't love that. And now you're playing an Atlanta Falcons team that you should win at home.
Oh, you better win that game. I said it
yesterday. You don't win that game. Monday is going to be... If you're listening to my voice right now and the Giants, fingers crossed, lose to the Falcons.
Wait, fingers crossed.
Set your alarm for 4:45 on Monday morning.
Fingers crossed. See?
Yeah, I've changed my whole approach to this.
You're a bad guy. Fingers crossed the Giants lose to the Falcons? Well, how about you're my best friend? All I want to see is success for you. 24 hours later and go Falcons?
Go Falcons, baby.
Oh,
the dirty birds.
You're
give me the dirty
bad
birds.
Person. See, I would expect this from Santiago, not from you. I thought you were at a higher level than this. Good. Why don't we start the show by discussing Sam Darnold then? He looked pretty good last night, didn't he?
He looked pretty damn good.
He looked pretty good, didn't he?
I'll tell you what, though. In all honesty, as good as he looked, and it's funny what happens when you have, I mean, a legitimate running back. Before he got started, you saw how they moved the ball when McCaffrey was in that game.
And it took him a while to adjust once he left the game, too.
Well, and their offensive line's not that good.
No.
Right? I mean, that's a strike against Saquon Barkley. All we hear about is the offensive line. But anyway, you got one of the most dynamic offensive players in the league. You got a legitimate number one wide receiver in DJ Moore. You actually have a tight end. I mean, Sam Darnold must be in heaven. He actually has a tight end he can throw to with Dan Arnold. You got Joe Brady, who can legitimately scheme and call up plays. I'll tell you what, though, Dave. I was more frustrated watching that game because of the head coach than I was the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, Matt Rhule, and they didn't give Matt Rhule the job. Why? Because he wanted to bring his own assistant coaches in? Of course he would, no?
I mean, of course he would.
How ridiculous is it that you interview the guy, you like the guy, and you tell him, if you're going to be hired, we're going to tell you who your assistant coaches are going to be? How asinine is that?
He was going to be your guy. That was the guy. And then you decided you wanted to hire his coordinators for him. I'm telling you what, I'm doing an interview like that, and I get Chris Johnson. It was his first time. He should have fired both. It should have been McCagnan and the head coach go. He hires both. Hire a new GM, help him hire, you know, help him have the GM help you hire the coach. But I'll tell you what, I'm doing those interviews. The second I tell Matt Rhule, hey, listen, we'll give you the job if you let us hire your coordinators, and he says no, is the second I give him the job.
Yeah, I agree. Has a little backbone. And then says no to the NFL. And then Tepper comes calling, takes that job, and now they sit here at 3-0. And you watch last night. Their defense is flying to the football. They have this young offensive coordinator. The quarterback looks exceptional. I mean, you're telling me they're not in great standing for a long time? When they can solidify the offensive line, that's going to be a really good football team.
Yeah, no kidding. But, I mean, that's it. You saw when he first took over this team. When Matt Rhule first took over the team, I mean, he spent all his draft capital on the defense. How's that defense look?
They look great.
They're flying around. They got statistically one of the better defenses in the National Football League. And I get it, you know, who they've played and everything else. But still, I mean, that's one of the benefits, too. Don't forget that. I know he's never coached, he's never been a head coach in the NFL. But when you hire a college coach like that, it does help with drafting players because he's so familiar. He's recruited those guys.
Yeah, he knows those guys. And you know what you say? Look at who they played. And that's fine with last night. But the week prior, they played New Orleans. And New Orleans is coming off a 5-touchdown performance from Jameis Winston against Green Bay. So let's settle down. I mean, that defense is good.
No, that defense is good. That defense is good. And I mean, it's the first time they're 3-0 since 2015, the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But here's the other thing, too, which I'm happy for Sam Darnold. You can believe that if you want.
No, you're not.
I am.
I don't think you are.
No, I am. Because at the end of this, it doesn't matter. I mean, if he's good, great for him. As long as Zach Wilson is better. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I don't want to see a kid's career derailed because the team that drafted him ruined him. And that's what the Jets did to Sam Darnold.
Oh, they completely ruined him. But look at him now. I mean, he looked terrific. That one throw last night, right? Didn't turn the ball over. Athletic. I mean, the one throw on the run, he looked exceptional.
There were guys wide open, though. I mean, that wasn't the New York Jets. Like some of those athletic throws, scrambling around off platform. I mean, DJ Moore's wide open. That's the benefit.
He was wide open all game. Robbie Anderson did nothing last night, huh?
And that's the funny part too. Robbie Anderson was your number one wide receiver. When you put Robbie Anderson next to a legitimate number one wide receiver, does he look like a number one wide receiver?
No.
No. I mean, he's the one that takes the top off the defense. Like he's a nice piece on a team, but he's not. He shouldn't be your go-to guy.
You see who the number one receiver. And listen, it's McCaffrey, it's Moore, it's Darnold, and then it's Robbie Anderson and Arnold and the secondary guys. But I got to tell you, man, you're a better person than me. If that's me, and I'm not blaming Sam for the failure here in New York, and that's what it was a failure here in New York. But if that's me and I'm watching that and I don't know what I have yet at quarterback and my team looks like they just looked, it is hard for me to watch Sam Darnold play like that last night. So the fact that you can – and feel good for him, you are a better person than I am.
Well, the Jets failed him as much as he failed the Jets.
I think more.
I put more blame on the Jets than I do Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think more so.
And, I mean, listen, he handled himself the right way. He did.
He was great.
I mean, the other thing was he couldn't stay healthy. I mean, he's just, it was a time, it was the time for him to move on. He needed to change the scenery. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know where his career would ended up.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I'm just saying, like, I'm a Jets fan. Me personally, and I bet you I'm not the only one out there. Me personally, I'm watching that last night. I'm a Jets fan. I don't enjoy watching him play that well. Now, if Zach Wilson is playing equally well, I don't care. But Zach Wilson looked, let's be fair, and I know it's early stages of his career. I get that. He looked bad last weekend. Now I turn the football game on 4 days later, and Sam Darnold looks like that. If I'm a Jets fan, and that head coach looks like that, if I'm a Jets fan, last night is difficult for me to watch, and I feel sick to my stomach this morning.
I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I didn't feel sick to my stomach about the coach. Well, I mean, remember too, Dave, I'm a fan now, but I mean, I lived through a lot of dysfunction. Like, I lived through dysfunction, so I know how hard it is to succeed, you know, with that kind of dysfunction around you. So, I mean, maybe that's part of it, the reason why I'm not devastated that Sam is playing well and I'm happy for him. But at the end of it, they wanted to reset expectations. They wanted to reset the money and everything else and move forward with the new head coach. So they decided that, you know, we'll let Sam move on and we'll take Zach Wilson, who clearly has tons of talent. Now
oozes.
He's just cultivating it.
Oozes with talent.
The word you like is moxie, but I mean, he's got, I watch him play and I think to myself, if he is handled the right way, he's going to be a really, really good quarterback for us.
Yep. Yep. And what happens when they fix the offensive line? They have a good offensive line. They have an elite running back. Maybe they add another receiver. And all of a sudden, that offense for years looks legitimate. And you know they will. Like, you feel like they're in good hands. And that's the thing. With the Jets, it's uncertain. You like Saleh. You think you like Wilson. But you've seen nothing from those guys. 3 weeks into this season, year two, and all of a sudden you look at Carolina, and that looks like a good football team.
Yeah, but it goes to show you. I mean, when teams are run well and coached well, you can turn things around and have success. I mean, you're talking about in the course of last year to now, three games into the season, you know, a 5-11 team starts off, defense looks like one of the best in the league, and they're 3-0. And they feel like they found their quarterback. You got to remember, too, when you draft a quarterback, a young quarterback, your team has to be ready for the quarterback if you want to have success and you want that kid to flourish. Like, we always go back to the different examples and how you want to handle your quarterback. Do you want him to start right away? Do you want him to, you know, sit on the bench and wait? But most of the time with these quarterbacks that develop into elite quarterbacks, they get drafted into good situations, really good situations. Russell Wilson got drafted into a really good situation. Ben Roethlisberger got drafted into a really good situation.
Yep.
Pat Mahomes, really good situation. Josh Allen, really good situation. Lamar Jackson, really good situation. I mean, listen, there's some outliers that are just so good they can make the talent around them better and they can succeed. But that's very rare that you have kids like that can just step in and immediately be that good.
Yeah, it doesn't happen all the time. But I go by. I wonder what the pulse of the Jets fan is this morning. So you just feel good about it, right? You're happy for Sam.
No, I don't feel good about it. I mean, I feel good for Sam.
Right, that's what
I'm saying.
I told
you, I don't feel great about the head coach. I mean, that's the guy that you were going to hire. But for some fakakta reason, you wanted to hire his coordinators.
Well, you know the reason.
I give him credit.
You know the reason.
He said no.
I mean, good for him. And he obviously had conviction in what he was going to be capable of doing and had a very good job at the time that he didn't need to leave anyway. And when the Jets made him feel uncomfortable and say, you know what, we'll hire you, we like you, but we're going to tell you who your coordinators are going to be. He's like, you know what, I don't need this. This franchise is dysfunctional to begin with. Now, I'm going to take the job there. I'm going to get my one shot, and they're going to tell me who I'm going to go to work with every day. No, thank you. And he leaves, and he takes the job with Carolina, brings his own guys in, and now, second year, boom, look at them. So that upsets you now more than Sam Darnold at the moment?
Yes.
The rule more than Darnold.
Look what he's done in a year and three games, what he's done with his team.
And if you remember, they were very competitive last year in year one.
Yes. Like, you knew last year you felt good about the head coach moving forward and what he was building. And that could have been your guy. And instead of that, building towards something, you had Adam Gase who completely set the organization on fire. On fire. Built nothing.
No, he really tried to bring the organization down. So let me ask you this. If you could right now, and you like Rob Saleh, but if you could right now trade Rob Saleh for Matt Rhule, would you do it?
I think you would have to, right? I think you would have to because, I mean, you said it to start the show. One is, I mean, one you've seen and you know, I mean, you have a good idea that he can coach and build something. I mean, with the with how they've developed this defense and everything else. And the other one's an unknown still. I like Robert Saleh. I do. And I've been surprised with how well the defense has played, which I think reflects well on him as a coach. But, I mean, you don't know yet. You have no idea.
No, you have no idea. And you know that Rhule is the goods. So there it is, Jets fans. This is how we open the show. We'll get to the Yankees in a little while. We'll go around the NFL at 6:45. Frenzy today? Are we involving ourselves in a frenzy?
We have to. It's Friday.
What are you thinking, 7:15?
I think 7:15. So whenever you want it. Multiple frenzies if you
no,
like.
No. Stop it. Can't do multiple frenzies.
I don't know. Who
what
says?
Kind of a savage are you? We're going to do one frenzy.
Can we do an extended frenzy?
What does that mean, an extended frenzy?
I don't know, multiple segment frenzy?
A multiple
segment? We'll see how it goes. We'll say 7:15.
No, I think that's cheeses. A lot. I think you're asking for a lot. How about we just put forth a really good frenzy at 7:15?
Yeah, but what if it's so good that we're saying to ourselves when we go to break, wow, that was so good that
okay,
maybe we need a little bit more?
I will extend the olive branch to you. If we get to 7:30-ish and we have to be done and there are people lined up all over the place, and we say, boy, this is just a special, a Matt Rhule, Sam Darnold kind of frenzy. We will take a break, extend it for a few minutes, and continue it in the next segment.
You know what that would be like? Did you see the new proposal for what they're going to do with the wild card weekend?
The Monday night game?
Oh, my God. Oh,
how delicious would that be?
I mean, that's...
So they're talking about what? They're talking about two Saturday, three Sunday, and then the one Monday?
We're talking 3 days, baby.
Now, would that start this year?
This is a Dave Rothenberg beautiful ribeye flipped four times and then sliced piping hot steak right on your
now,
plate.
Now, don't get me. I'm not slicing it open. Yeah, I'm not like slicing it down the middle into two halves. I'm going one little cut into the middle. Just to see what we're looking like, and if we're at a good level, then boom, we're done. I'm not feeling it. I'm not rubbing that thing. I'm not pressing fingers into it.
The real grill master would slap you right in the face if he saw you do that.
That's fine. I had the one guy went to slap me in the face yesterday anyway.
Right in the mush.
Right in the mush. And then I find out the guy's 6'4", 280. Like, I can't have the guy that's just, you know, he's living in his mom's basement, and he's 5'4", 127, who's calling me, threatening me.
I better not see you in the street!
Yeah, I got to have Andre the Giant who has a problem with me. The wife calls. Yeah. What did she say? He's 6'4", 280?
He's a big teddy bear, though.
Oh, great.
I will walk up to you and punch you in the mush.
They still stand by the fact that he's a fraud. I do. He said he'd be happy if the Yankees won 92 games and didn't make it to
the
postseason.
I just wanted to make it clear. I don't want to be a counselor for you guys. You're beyond counseling.
Yeah, we are. I think that's fair to say.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Jets fans, how did you feel watching that game last night? Like, Rick, did you feel sick about the head coach more than the quarterback? Did you feel sick about the quarterback? We're both making you unsettled. Where did you land after watching the game last night? I felt sick about it because I knew it. I said on the show yesterday, and you pushed me away from taking Carolina. Had you pushed me towards taking Carolina, maybe I would have done that.
Yeah, I thought I expected you to take Carolina.
I wanted to, but I couldn't do it. You know, and you know why it is? It's because these Thursday games, they mess with my head.
Yeah, I mean, Thursday games are tough, especially Thursday game team on the road that you feel good about.
But Houston is bad.
No, I know, but they're better than you thought they would be.
They are better. And Brandon
Cooks
is good.
Their head coach looks like Jerry Lewis.
I don't see that.
You don't see David Culley looking like Jerry Lewis
a
little bit?
No.
I think he looks a little bit like Jerry Lewis.
Did you want to give money?
To help them out?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Really?
How much better would they be? In all honesty, I mean, Brandon Cooks is a good wide receiver. I mean, that Davis Mills, you know, rookie quarterback, he's fine. That team wouldn't be half bad if Deshaun Watson was their quarterback.
No. They'd probably be like a 5-6 win team.
Look at Jerry Lewis and then imagine him with glasses and tell me he doesn't look like David Culley.
Hang on. Well, first of all, why are you yelling at me?
Because you're blaming me. I thought you were taking Carolina. I'm mad at myself because I didn't want to take the we've we've taken the same teams back-to-back weeks in Survivor. And I was like, we can't do that again.
Well, we're
I'm
not
like
going to
jackass.
Take
the... I didn't take it.
Does he look like...
A little bit. A
no.
little bit. Stop.
No, I don't think he does. I want to. I have a picture pulled up of David Culley. If I was using a facial recognition app, it would say no.
How about Dan Reeves? A little bit like Dan Reeves.
No.
No?
No. Say it, D. Am I missing out on this one? Does he look like either Jerry Lewis or Dan Reeves?
I don't see it.
I don't see it.
I'm telling you, Jerry Lewis a little bit.
No. There's no Jerry Lewis there at all.
That's fine. Agree to disagree. I think he looks a little bit like Jerry Lewis.
I want to see it. Like, I want to look at it and say, yes, my friend is right. But I can't. And I won't. I don't see it.
You know the other reason why you're upset, though, looking at these games? This is not an easy week.
We only got hit one, though.
No, I know. That's it. That's all we had hit last week with our picks against K. And we had everyone picked except the one you picked that was wrong.
Here we go. Blaming me. See, this is
why
you're upset.
I may go rogue today. 555. I may go rogue.
Fine. Just do what you want then. Then let's not spend 15 minutes breaking it down at 6:45 this morning. Tell me now. Do what you want. I'll do what I want next week, and we'll see how we do.
No, I don't want to do that because you did what you wanted last week.
I didn't do what I wanted last week.
Yes, you did. That was not high on the totem pole of power rankings.
We went through the game. Let me ask you questions. All right. If you're under oath right now, you're on the stand. Rick, raise your right hand. You've taken your oath, the whole thing.
Okay?
Did we go through games last week together?
Yes.
Did we narrow it down to 5 or 6 games that we both agreed we liked by the end of our show?
Yes.
Was one of those games selected on the K show for our pick of the week?
It was one of the games on the list, but it was lower on the list.
First of all, I don't know how it was lower on the list. It was on the list. Secondly, please be a good witness. Was one of the games selected for the K show on the list of games that we went through earlier in the morning?
I plead the fifth.
See? He can't even answer.
No, I can answer it. You didn't consult with me. I didn't feel great about that game.
The whole thing was consultation.
Better.
From the beginning, it was consultation.
No, there
you know
wasn't.
What? I'm done with you. I'm bringing
crickets.
On Danny in Centerport. Danny, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. I'm notoriously in a bad spot here, so if I lose you, I apologize. You know, listen, I'm thrilled for Sam. I really am. You know, as a lifelong Jet fan, man, he had absolutely nothing working for him, as we can talk to nauseam. He had no players, no coach, no direction for a kid that had the talent to be. I wish him all the best, and I will always root for him. You know, I'm not frustrated whatsoever where we are either. I think we're in a great spot. If you want to be frustrated with the organization, because I hear a lot to talk, you know, Alan said it yesterday perfectly. You can be frustrated with the organization, but not with this regime. Right now, give them their due. They're worth their due. They drafted a great quarterback. They're going in the right direction. Just like you said before, at the end of the year, I want to just make sure my coach seems competent, that we're going in the right direction. Wilson stays upright and doesn't get killed, and he learns this game, because this kid is talented as I've ever seen, and I'm thrilled at where we are.
You're thrilled at where you are?
Absolutely.
All
absolutely.
Right.
Why wouldn't I be, Dave? I mean, listen, we seem like we finally got the GM correct. We seem like we've got a competent.
I don't think we know that yet, Danny. I don't think we know that yet.
Well, I mean, listen,
I'm not 100% sure we know that yet.
Well, let him put his stamp on the team. He's finally putting a stamp on the team. He's rolling with a quarterback that he drafted. He's rolling with a coach that he's picked. I think we have to give them their due, and I think we're in a good spot. Listen, we're in a better spot than we've been in since Rex. And
all right, well, we lost Danny. Danny,
I don't think
you
used the word thrilled. I think that's overselling a little bit. As far as Joe Douglas is concerned, I don't know if. Like, that's still incomplete.
You want to say you're optimistic? I can buy into that. You're thrilled at where you are?
Well, you have no choice but to be optimistic.
Oh,
I mean,
that's
the
fair.
Other choice?
And you know what? It's early stages. But of the three, the quarterback, the head coach, and the GM, the one that I would have circled as, you know what, I don't know right now, is the GM.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not done great so far in his tenure here. Let's be honest.
No, I mean, there are still some question marks with Joe Douglas. I mean, you love his pedigree, but still. I mean, you got a second-round pick that can't get on the field for a bunch of different reasons. Mekhi Becton's hurt. I mean, the questions you were asking about Mekhi Becton before he got drafted seemed to kind of rear their ugly heads this offseason. Didn't seem like he was in great shape, missed OTAs, now he's hurt. I mean, there are definitely some questions. He didn't pay Marcus May. I mean, yeah, he got good value for Jamal Adams, but, I mean, right now, I don't know yet.
You just don't know. And I think that's the only way you can attack this thing. You watched Carolina last night. It feels like you should be optimistic about them. You should be excited about them. To say the same about the Jets, it's just too early.
Well, for some reason, too. I'll tell you what. I have a strike against Joe Douglas for me is not having a veteran quarterback. You can't convince me otherwise.
I think it's a mistake.
There's no reason not to.
I agree with you.
So, I mean, there are still some things that Joe Douglas needs to do. But as far as being thrilled at where the Jets are at, I don't know.
You can't be thrilled. There's no way you can sit here today and say, I'm thrilled. You want to say you're optimistic? Fine. Cautiously optimistic, that's where I would be. Thrilled? You're non-competitive. I'm sorry. This is the start of his third year. I don't love what Joe Douglas has done. Saleh's a complete question mark at the moment, and so is Zach Wilson. So thrilled? No. You can't be. I'm sorry. You cannot be thrilled.
No. I'm not thrilled. I love the Jets. I'm not thrilled. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic, I think, is the appropriate phrase. 1-800-919-3776. I can't imagine, as a Jets fan, this morning you wake up and you are thrilled. Because I have a feeling if you have another couple of weeks of Zach Wilson playing like he did last week, you're going to have people start to call.
But I think that's unfair.
But
Dave, in all honesty, how could you be thrilled at this point? When you look at your division, just look at your division. Because, I mean, to be thrilled means that you feel like at some point here over the next couple years, you're going to be a playoff team. Easiest way to make the playoffs is win your division. Look at your division right now. You got Josh Allen in the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
Who are in the conversation for a Super Bowl. I mean, Josh Allen's getting MVP votes, right? You have well-coached, good GM. The Patriots seem like they've hit on Mac Jones.
Sure does.
And then the rumors won't stop. It sounds like Miami is probably going to get Deshaun Watson.
I think that they will.
Okay, so they get Deshaun Watson. Now I'm dealing with that.
That's right. So you'll have Watson, Allen, and Jones for the next God knows how many years. How are you going to win this division?
With three good coaches and three well-run organizations.
Excellent coaches and well-run organizations. So again, I'm not sitting here being all, you know, doom and gloom saying you have no chance, but to sit here and tell me you're thrilled, I don't understand how that's possible.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I got to tell you, you wake up on a Friday in football season, it feels different, doesn't it? Like, you wake up on a Friday in the summer and you're happy because you have the weekend and there's not a ton of sports on. You can spend time with family and go outside and go to the beach or the pool or whatever it is that you do. You wake up on a Friday in football season and it's like business, right? You're ready for the weekend of football.
Well, you have something to look forward to, right? I mean, that's the beauty of football. Like, I plan my weekend around football. Which games are on at 1, what I'm going to eat.
How about this? How good is this? Ben's doubleheader Sunday?
Canceled.
No. Even better. 9 and 11.
Oh.
How good is that?
Well, I mean, they finally smartened up. I mean, I don't care. I mean, no one wants to be doing doubleheader baseball on football Sunday during games.
Not during games, they don't.
That's ridiculous. I told you last week. First football game for Milo, flag football. They decided game got moved from Friday to Sunday rather than do it Sunday morning. They could have done it at 5 a.m. for all I care.
Yeah, sure.
They did it at 4:30 kickoff.
Oh.
4:30.
So what did you do?
I went to the game.
You went to the game, and what did you do with the Jets and the Giants? I guess the Giants had played that Thursday.
Giants had played Thursday. Jets won 1-1, so I watched the Jets, and then I had to tape all the other games.
But you weren't happy about it.
No.
Now, did you avoid the scores? Did you go into his flag football game saying, like, all right, please don't hit me with a random score? Or do you just go in and whatever happens, you'll go home and watch it whether you know the result or not?
Left my phone at home and then sat far enough away from people that no one could ruin it.
So if like just a random guy came running up, guess what? You'll never believe it.
No, we shut it down. We shut it right down.
86-yard touchdown in the Saints game. Unbelievable.
Not going to happen, no.
No?
Well, no, because you got to remember, too, Doc and Deb were here. And Doc loves the Bucks. So the Bucks were playing at 4. So he was choked.
So what did he do?
Same thing.
He went to Milo's game and he avoided the score.
Phones at home, yep.
Right.
Taped
so
it.
Now you guys went home from the game as if you didn't know anything. Well, I guess you didn't know anything, and watched the game rooting the whole 9 yards because you didn't know anything.
Exactly right.
Okay. I like that.
It's the only choice, really. I mean, that was the choice.
But here's the thing. You have how long was his game?
An hour? Yeah.
Right. So that's an hour. So you go at 4, you're home by 6, you've missed 2 hours, you fast forward through the commercials and all that stuff, and you catch up quickly. If I were to go to Ben's games on a Sunday, they're at 2 and 4:30. I'm going home. I gotta watch 5 hours of games.
I know this weekend too, when you got the 1 and the 4, it's a lot. But
when did they start the early games? Is that 2 weeks from this weekend?
The Jets have that 9:30 game against the Falcons.
That's what? That's October like the 9th?
I want to say the 5th?
The 5th would be like a Tuesday, so I find that unlikely.
So whatever Sunday is.
So I think it's the 9th. Unless it's the 2nd. If it's the 2nd, it's next weekend. But I don't think it's next weekend. You got that?
October 2nd is a Sunday. October 9th is a Sunday.
All right.
So no, October 10th is a Sunday.
All right, whatever. So it's the 10th?
It's got to be.
I thought you were looking it up.
I'm looking at my calendar. I'm not looking at the schedule.
All right,
but
we don't know when the game is. I think it's October the 10th, 9:30 in the morning, which is going to mean by lunchtime, you're going to either be in a good mood or a bad mood, because that's also going to be one of those games that they can absolutely win.
Yeah, both teams. You circle Atlanta and say they better win these games.
October 10th. Next week, you get the delight of trying to tackle Derrick Henry and the Titans. Great. And then the week after, in London, Jets and Falcons. And then you get the week off, and you come home, and you get the Patriots. So that's nice.
In New England. Perfect.
Right. Well, obviously, in New England, you already had them here. But then you're home to Cincinnati. So in fairness, the Jets do have a couple of winnable games coming up.
Yeah, but Cincinnati and Atlanta are saying the same exact thing about the Jets.
I get that. But if you look, Jets could beat Atlanta. Jets could beat Cincinnati. Because it's not Jets should win in Houston.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you're talking about 3 wins.
All right. Look, I thought they'd win 6. So maybe they won't. But they have the Jaguars. They have a couple of winnable football games.
Yeah, winnable football games. They're not ones you circle and say these are games that you expect them to win.
Expect them to win, no. So right now, if I said to you, how many wins did the Jets get on the season? Seeing what they've been the first 2 weeks, seeing what the offensive line looks like, knowing that Becton is injured, what would you say?
I would say somewhere around probably 3 or 4 wins.
3 wins. Oof, God, that's a rough season.
Well, think about it. I mean, you just mentioned it. I mean, you're going to lose you're most likely going to lose at Denver. Denver's not an easy place to play.
You might take Denver in the Survivor.
No, my father-in-law wants me to take Denver. I don't know if I can do it. I feel like you're going to take Denver probably.
Maybe.
So, and then you got Tennessee, you mentioned that. Then it's neutral field.
Right. Neutral field
Atlanta,
Falcons. You got to win that. If you're going to win games this year, that has to be a victory.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you. But still, you don't know. I mean, Atlanta could be 0-3 too in a must-win situation.
They better be.
And at least their quarterback has won an MVP. So, and your quarterback's going to be playing his fourth career game. And then you got your bye, which is a little bit early for my liking. But then, I mean, at New England?
No, they beat New England at home. But home to Cincinnati.
Yeah, but you act like, I mean, here's the thing, though. You act like Cincinnati, are they a good team? No, they're not a good team. But Joe Burrow's a good quarterback. And they got, I mean, between Higgins and Chase and Mixon, I mean, offensively, they're a pretty good team.
Yeah, they have your hands full with that. They're a pretty good team. But here's the thing. If you're not winning the Atlanta or the Bengals or the Texans or the Jaguars, where are you winning games?
You're probably not. You're the youngest team in the NFL.
So if that's the case, then you're looking at 2-15. If you can't win the games that I just mentioned, you're not winning in New England. You're probably not winning at home against Tennessee. You're not winning against Buffalo, you wouldn't think. You're not winning primetime in Indianapolis against the Colts. If you don't win 3 or 4 of the games that I just mentioned, what are you doing this year?
Yeah, but why win, though? That would be my other point. Why win?
Well, you don't want to go 1-16.
Well, but why not? What's the benefit? I mean, what are you trying to do? You're trying to build here, right, moving forward. So if I can win two games and now all of a sudden have, you know, the second overall pick, or even better yet, the first overall pick, and I don't need a quarterback, or have, you know, the fifth or sixth pick because I won four or five games, no, give me the first overall pick. Give me some flexibility to do what I want with that pick.
Another one of those years, huh? Let's go to Chris in the Bronx. Chris, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm going to miss the frenzy today. So
oh, no.
I got a survivor pick. I'm between Denver or Arizona. I was calling for your expertise advice.
Denver or Arizona? I would say Denver first, but I like
home.
Arizona as well. I typically... And
you don't like just, you don't like going Survivor with road teams.
That was what I was going to say. I typically try to avoid the road teams with Survivor. Especially
but, I mean, as far as the quarterback is concerned, I mean, the way Kyler Murray is playing right now and what a mess Jacksonville is, you probably can't go wrong with either.
No. There's a bunch. Baltimore is an attractive team this week, although they're on the road as well, and they're coming off that emotional victory. But they're, I thought last night, I really blew last night. I should have taken that
game. Well, Lamar Jackson's sick, too. I mean, his hip is sore from that stupid flip.
Right.
And then
and he's not. But a non-COVID illness also, they've said.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that's not.
No, it's not
you
what
don't
you
love that
for
with how much he has Friday, to do for that team.
The Friday of the football weekend. Let's go to Terry in Jersey City. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. I just wanted to ask you guys, how do you feel about Teddy Bridgewater going forward?
I like Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, he's an competent
awesome
NFL quarterback.
It's an awesome story. He fits exactly what Vic Fangio wants to do. Don't make mistakes. Play great defense. I mean, that's what he's done. He exposed the Giants, which I loved.
See, I don't understand.
What?
Terry, thanks for the call. I don't understand why you're doing this. See, you say you're not bothered by Matt Rhule. You say you're not bothered by
Sam Darnold.
I said
I was bothered by Matt Rhule. Don't put words in my mouth. I said I was bothered by Matt Rhule.
So I think that you're lashing out on me because you're so bothered by what you saw last night from Carolina. That's what I think.
No. Well, I'm bothered because you just went through the Jets schedule, and now it's slapped me right in the face with the reality that this is not going to be a good season.
Did you think before I went through the schedule it was?
No, I didn't think it was going to be a great season.
It took the realization of the schedule to you understand that the Jets were going to have a rough season?
No, I knew they were going to have a rough season. But I also didn't expect my young quarterback to throw four interceptions either. And his first two throws, interceptions.
That's fair, but if there was a team that you would say he would struggle against, you'd have to think it would be Belichick in that defense, no?
All rookie quarterbacks do, yeah.
All right, so? I think this week for him is huge. Because you had a horrendous game. You're going up against a good team. You're going on the road in a tough place to play. Let's see what he's made of this week. You can't go out there and perform like you did last weekend. You have to be better.
Well, here's the thing. You have no left tackle. Your line's shaky. I mean, when you look at, you know, quarterbacks being pressured, Zach Wilson's at the top of the list. You got a good secondary. And, oh, by the way, they have Von Miller. In altitude in Denver.
Yeah. And their home opener.
So, I mean, yeah, it's not great, but we'll see what this kid is made of. I mean, you said it. We'll see what he's made of. That's what the season is about, seeing what your rookie quarterback and your head coach are made of.
That is correct. And I've said that the entire season, but I think that you and I might be different than a lot of people. I'm telling you, you hear it after 2 weeks. And you don't just hear it from fans. You've heard it from hosts on the station of, oh, God, he just doesn't look that good. He's getting picked off all over the place. This is a real litmus test for Zach Wilson. Already?
Yeah, that's just panic. That's just knowing what the Jets have done to young quarterbacks. That's what that is.
I mean, Greeny's already scared to death.
Well, of course he is. I mean, you see the list. I mentioned it when it happened. I mean, you look at the list of quarterbacks to throw four picks for the Jets, and the list was now Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold, and Mark Sanchez. Outside of the earliest success with Mark Sanchez, how did that turn out?
Not well.
Okay, how did it turn out for Sam Darnold?
Eventually, we don't know, but yeah, with the Jets, not well.
With the Jets, I don't mean now.
Yeah.
With the Jets,
yeah, not
so
well.
That's a fifth overall pick and a third overall pick.
Yeah, not well. I get it.
That's what that is.
But you believe that the coach and the offensive coordinator and the quarterback are different now. You believe this is. Listen, Mark Sanchez wasn't a good quarterback. You say what you want. It was very limited with what he was able to do. I think they got a lot out of Sanchez in the time he was here. They went to back-to-back AFC championship games. Darnold, I think they ruined. Wilson, hopefully they'll do well with.
Yeah, but that was another one of those situations. And the same thing was said about Sam Darnold when he left USC. He hadn't played a lot of quarterback. So he was going to need to be drafted into a situation where they could develop him the right way, which is exactly the opposite of what they did. They had 3 games in 11 days. You had Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater on your roster, and you decide, you know what, we'll throw him right into the fire, which was probably a mistake. No, it was a mistake. I'm not afraid to say that. It was a mistake. And then with Mark Sanchez, I mean, you saw how you were going to have success with Mark Sanchez, but because you took him with the 5th overall pick, you felt like, okay, well, he's going to have to develop into a guy that can carry the team. And that's when things went sideways.
And he was never going to be that guy.
No, he was never going to be that guy. But because you went up and reached for him at 5, you felt like you had to justify the pick. So, I mean, they don't have a track record of doing the right thing with young quarterbacks. That's what freaks Jets fans out. That's what freaks
and I understand.
The Jets fan out.
Listen, it's the same thing with the Giants, right? Maybe they're not the same team they've been, but they're 0-2 yet again. And I've been here 4 years consecutively, and 7 of the prior 8, so starting at 0-2 makes you feel like, here we go again, we stink, it's going to be awful. And is it fair to this current Giants team? No. But when it looks like you're going to repeat bad history, all of a sudden you start to panic. And I think that's where the Jets fan is, and I think that's where the Giants fan is.
Let me ask you a question. I like playing these kind of games with you. Sam Darnold, 3 years, 38 starts for the New York Jets.
Okay.
How many times do you think he threw for 300-plus?
300-plus, I'd say twice.
See, that's just because you think the Jets stink and Adam Gase stunk. You're not far off. 4 times in 3 years. Had 2 games like that with Adam Gase.
Yeah, that's brutal.
None last year. He's got back-to-back weeks with the Panthers.
Yeah, that really is brutal.
He's got more wins in 3 games than he had. I mean, it took him 13. His last 13 starts, he had 3 wins as a Jet. First 3 weeks, he's 3-0.
That's bad. Listen, he's in a much better situation right now.
It's night and day, the situation. Coaching, talent, I mean, you name it. So, I mean, again, watching that game last night, and maybe this is just me from my own personal experience, having dealt with quite a bit of dysfunction as a player, I was happy for Sam Darnold. I'm happy for Sam Darnold.
No, I don't get it.
I'm telling you, I'm happy for him.
I believe that you are.
What's my choice? To be mad at him?
Well, he had the worst coach in history of football? If I were you, listen, I'm angry at everything with the Giants right now.
I'm angry at the Jets. I'm not angry at Sam Darnold. I'm angry at the Jets. They could have hired Matt Rhule. The way they handled the whole Darnold situation in general from the start, from the second they drafted him. What do you always say about drafting a young quarterback? What's the best thing for a young quarterback? Stability. Continuity. Yep. If there was any thought before you drafted him that Todd Bowles was going to get fired if they had a bad season, what are you expecting to have with the rookie quarterback? A good season? Were you expecting to go into year one with Sam Darnold and have a good season? No. You're signing up for a bad season, probably. There's a reason why you're in the top 10. Right? There's a reason why you could move up from 6 to 3 to draft the quarterback because your team stunk. So you know going in, we're going to have a bad season. If there was a thought, another bad season, Todd Bowles is fired, then you should have fired him before you drafted the quarterback.
You're right, but they're dysfunctional. We've been over this a million times. By the way, Matt Rhule stealing my phrases after the game last night. I think there's a good chance, because he's up early, probably preparing for the games, he listens to the show, and now he's stealing my phrases. You want to hear this?
I do.
All right, Matt Rhule, Darnold plays courageously, and listen to what he says about him.
I think one thing about Sam, he has some moxie, man. I mean, he stayed in the pocket, had that long run called back, but, you know, finding Terrace on the 3rd and 12. I mean, there were some huge conversions by Sam, and again, it's him just playing within the system, but also I think he has a courageousness that, you know, he's not crossing the line going over the top. He's protecting the football and still pushing the ball down there.
See, that's my phrase. He's got moxie.
No one ever questioned his tough. I mean, he's a tough kid. Like, he'll stand in there and take shots. But now when he takes shots, he actually has wide receivers that are open that can create separation.
He did miss more on a play down the left sideline.
He was
wide open.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, I mean, he's exactly what Matt Rhule said. I mean, he's staying within the system. He's not turning the ball. But that's what would drive you crazy about Sam is some of the just ridiculous turnovers. And he couldn't stay healthy.
Although he did fumble twice yesterday. They just happened to get it back.
Yes, which again leads me to, even when I watched Zach Wilson play through the first 2 weeks, and week two was awful, I still see a quarterback with more talent than Sam Darnold. He's got more natural ability than Sam Darnold does.
And Darnold has ability.
Yeah, he has ability, but I just think that what Zach Wilson can do with the football, even if you just watch his feet, like the kid is gifted. Now it's up to the coaching staff and Joe Douglas to surround him with talent and develop him the right way. Teach him how to protect the football. I mean, what did you expect? Seriously. All we do is talk about this kid's his arm talent, make every throw off platform, you name it, he can do it. And he's playing his first home game. You don't think the kid is going to try to do too much?
I think you got much of what you expected to get from him. I thought it was jarring for a lot of people. I think to say on Friday, listen, you know, I think he's going to struggle. It's Belichick's defense. Maybe he's going to try to do too much is one thing. To actually see it happen on Sunday is a completely different conversation. It's jarring to the eye. It's jarring to the Jets fan. I understand why you would be upset. I think some Jets fans take it too far, but I do understand why you would be bothered by what happened last week.
Yeah, but at least he didn't say on national television that he was seeing ghosts.
He did not
see ghosts. The right direction.
That is correct.
But again, I mean, we all expected him to struggle. Now, did he struggle more than we thought? Of course he did. I mean, first two passes were intercepted. But I think a lot of that was the kid was trying to do too much, which is understandable in your first game at home. When you have this confidence, this supreme confidence in yourself that you can make any throw, you can fit it in any tight window. And it also doesn't help that, I mean, the kid is harassed on almost every single dropback. You got to protect the kid, too. I mean, that's part of it.
Of course you do. You don't have your best offensive lineman, and I think that the weapons that we thought they had may not be as good as we thought they might be. And we'll see. It's a long season. So let's see how he progresses in year one.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.